Your Notre Dame football weekend starts now on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. Now your hosts, Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback Evan Sharpley.
Yeah, we roll right into this Friday with the Leprechaun Lunch on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT with Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers, and of course, we are presented by Sharpley Training. With us, you can be a champion. Call today for a complimentary class, 574-226-8234. Visit sharpleytraining.com. You can tell it is Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, because the route I take is not, I kind of go by some commercial corridor, but not like deep by the mall or anything like that. But it's a lot less trafficked today.
Not as much.
Than on a normal Friday.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. How about you?
It was great. It's one of my, it's probably one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I like to eat.
That's what I had instructions. Darren wanted me to ask you
this
because you are obviously really hardcore fitness and you watch what you eat and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
I watch it go in my mouth.
What? But you don't consume a lot of sugar and the bad carbs and all that kind of stuff though on a typical day, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. Okay. My weak point though are donuts.
Really?
Yeah, my wife and I took a little mini vacation last Sunday to Sweetwater's Donuts in Kalamazoo.
Ooh.
And they have a nice selection.
Is this like a gourmet donut shop?
Well, it's open 24 hours. And when I first heard about it, I was like, 24-hour donut place, that doesn't sound appealing.
We had one of those in our college campus.
I'll tell you what, this place is the real deal.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. My wife did an awesome job preparing the food yesterday.
I want to hear more about the donuts.
The peanut butter and jelly donut. We had a New York strawberry cheesecake. That was really good. There was a cinnamon crumble. And then my favorite is just either strawberry raspberry jelly filled with the white frosting.
Yeah, I've always been a big jelly donut.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that.
That's right.
So, but it, yeah, we had a nice day yesterday.
So did you eat your typical Thanksgiving spread?
Yeah, we had turkey, ham, green bean casserole, which really isn't up my alley. I love the stuffing. That is my weakness.
Me too.
And we tried a cornbread stuffing yesterday, which was pretty good.
Our meals are identical.
Yeah.
My dad had cornbread too? My dad and my daughter. Yeah. Cornbread stuffing.
Wow.
My wife put a little sausage in there.
Okay.
With it. But my dad is not a turkey fan, so, and neither is my daughter, really. She had a little bit. But
so they go with the ham, though.
So we have both a ham and a turkey and a green bean casserole.
Same.
And the stuffing.
And then the mashed potatoes, of course.
We didn't have mashed potatoes. My son, cheesy potatoes.
Okay, so potatoes. I grew up with the cheesy potatoes. The mashed potatoes we have, the secret ingredient is this Irish butter, Kerrygold. That stuff is just magic.
It sounds like
it. And the thing is, we usually don't have for Christmas too, and then also for Thanksgiving, we don't usually have a lot of dessert because we eat so much of just the main course.
What about sweet potatoes? Do you guys?
We did not have any. We've done that in the past, sweet potato casserole too. Yeah. We've done one of those. Well, I got so hungry though waiting. I almost ate an entire cheese ball and pretzels while I was just sitting there waiting for the actual meal. I mean, we had a couple other finger foods and prosciutto and some wrapped in cheese. There was a lot of cheese.
Are you a turkey sandwich, ham sandwich after the fact?
Well, this morning for breakfast, I got up and I was like, well, let's go see what we have in the refrigerator. I'm like, oh yeah, yesterday was Thanksgiving, so to turn it into a breakfast, I had the ham. I had the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, but since it was breakfast, I made two eggs.
Over easy.
Kind
of like a scramble.
Yeah, and then you kind of cut, the yolk kind of leaks then into the stuffing. It was really good. And Jackie looked at my plate. She goes, "You just made the two eggs, so it looked like breakfast, right?"
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. I'm disguising lunch right now as breakfast.
Gotta try. Oh, that sounds. I like to take the roll, and I put a little stuffing on there, the turkey, some of the sweet potato casserole, and then a little bit of the cranberry sauce. That is my...
Sounds pretty good.
That's for later.
I'm getting really hungry right now. I got my workout in already. We worked out from 10 to 11. Came right here. I didn't get a snack yet. Man, I can't wait to get back home and eat some food.
I bet. Well, I hope everyone else had a great Thanksgiving as well. The Notre Dame football team, they did their annual massive Thanksgiving dinner at the Morris before they headed out to California and Palo Alto last night.
I got to say, it was always weird. I mean, we always played in California Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it would rotate between USC and Stanford. So, you know, you go from, and I'm a Midwest kid, so, you know, I was able or thought I'd be able to, you know, to get back home during those weekends. But my parents would usually come in early in the week and we'd celebrate, you know, as a family and then obviously with the team too. Yeah. But it was just kind of a weird feeling because we always were in California around that time playing. So
that's right. Either L.A. or yeah. Palo Alto or wherever you guys stay.
Not bad. I mean, I wasn't going to complain going out there, at the end of November.
Weather's nicer, that's yeah. for sure.
And Palo Alto's always beautiful. We really enjoyed those trips, that's for sure.
Absolutely. How many... Do you kind of have an idea? How many turkeys do you think they would make for the team back when you were feasting? Got to be like,
I don't know.
Minimum of 50, right?
Yeah, there's got to be a lot.
Because that's especially when you start getting some of those linemen.
Well, you'll get some sneaky skill players. Like I always, I mean, I still pride myself in how much I can eat. But you'll get some skill players that can put some food down too. It's not just, I mean, obviously the linemen, you know, they're 280, 300 pounds. So their, you know, caloric intake is going to be a little bit higher to function, but you'll get some guys, you know, the holder, maybe Van Gorder, I feel like he probably can eat a little bit.
You think he's one of the sneaky guys.
Yeah. And there might be a couple of like maybe a defensive back here, you know, a slot receiver who might be able to put some food away.
They've got those metabolisms.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, they're putting it down right now. I've always felt like when you hear that they eat the big meal before they get on the plane, like that would not be a very comfortable plane ride.
Or it might be the best sleep of your life.
It could be. A little tryptophan.
Yeah.
Get you going.
Although you might wake up and not know where you are.
That's true, too. All right. We're going to talk a little Notre Dame Stanford here in a little bit. We've got some listener tweets that we're going to, some questions that we're going to answer coming up here in a little bit as well. Of course, tomorrow it is Notre Dame at Stanford, 8 o'clock. Man. Prime time here on WSBT. Game day coverage begins at 2 with the Jack Swarbrick Show, followed by the Brian Kelly Radio Show at 3. 4 o'clock, it's game day with Evan Sharpley and Tim Growlin. Do you have the guests? I know Don Crickey is one of your guests.
Yeah, Don Crickey, Ross Browner, and then Steve Wiltfong, who covers recruiting for 24/7 Sports.
All right, so that is the guest list. I forgot to put it on my rundown.
Ross is always one of my favorite guests to have on.
Good guest.
Yeah, he's great.
All right.
And Don, we never know what to expect with Don.
Yeah, that's very true.
We never know. And we had Alan Pinkett on last week, mm-hmm. and we had to ask him because there's been a couple of times where we have Don on, you know, on the show, and it's usually an away game where we have Don. He doesn't he doesn't come in person on the show, and Alan comes on once a year to talk with us in person. We usually have them on, you know, calling in, but it's usually an away game. And Don's usually with Alan, and there's been a couple of times where they're in the car driving to the stadium. And we'll ask Don a question, and he won't respond to it. He'll just give the phone to Alan and say, "All right, Alan, you're talking now." So it's, you know,
that's fantastic.
There's been a couple, really, you know, he was, I can't remember where Notre Dame was playing, but we asked him a question. It was, "Where's your favorite place to eat in this city?" And he rattles off this place. He goes, "But it must have not been too many other people's favorite because they closed." I'm like, well, how can it be your favorite place if it's not open anymore? So, you know, Don's always, he's always, we never know what really to expect. You know, he's pretty dry as far as like his humor. I don't know if he, you know, he specifically is trying to be funny, but Tim and I are always, we always are cracking up.
That's listening to what he's saying. That's the best one when they're not trying to be funny, I think. He's been around a while, obviously, but with his work with the NFL and all that. He's obviously been around to just about any city you can probably imagine. So he should know the cuisine just about
That's right.
Just about anywhere. All right. So that is at 4 o'clock, game day with Evan Sharpley and Tim Growl. 5 o'clock, it's Budweiser's game day sports beat with Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett. And I will take you up until 7 o'clock when the IMG Network takes over. The game starts at 8 o'clock. And that is tomorrow night here on WSBT as the regular season comes to a close. We've still got a bowl game to go. But big one, just as far as what bowl game
that's going to be. Could be a New Year's Six game.
Yep. I mean, do you think if they win, slam dunk lock for a New Year's Six bowl, right?
Yeah.
I don't see, because they're sitting there at 8. They've been 8 the last 2 weeks. Even with the conference championship games factoring some stuff in, I don't think
Notre Dame
there's
sells.
Anything to worry about. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's still, once you get out of the playoff, that's still a big factor with these other games, I think.
Oh, I would think so. You know, you're gonna. I think you know, the different people on the committee for the bowls are gonna take into account, you know, how a fan base travels. I mean, if they're gonna invite you to a bowl game, they'd like to have some revenue.
That's very true.
You know, Notre Dame is a national brand. I think that you know, they would travel well to, you know, wherever that bowl game would be, and then you're likely gonna get a quality opponent. You know, it's gonna be. There's going to be national attention with that, and you know, you have an opportunity, especially if you know if they're able to win. You talk about 11-2. I mean, that's a fantastic turnaround following a 4-8 season.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. I asked Darren this the other day. Do you think it's more important to win this game, Stanford tomorrow, and just get to a New Year's Six bowl, whether you win or lose that bowl, as opposed to you lose this game and you go to a lesser bowl and you win that bowl game?
Well, if you win this game, you got to win them both. I think it'd still be fairly devastating to go to a bowl game given Notre Dame's track record in bowl games, because it's going to be against a good team. Mm-hmm. And that, again, would be the conversation of can they beat a quality opponent,
right?
You know, in a bowl game, in prime time, likely, New Year's Six bowl game. So to answer the question, I think it would be, if they lost to Stanford and then won a bowl game, I think it would be, I mean, it wouldn't mean as much. You know, it's got to be win-win. Not win, okay, great, let's pat ourselves on the back. We're going to a New Year's Six game.
Not lose to Stanford and go to the Fiesta Bowl and get waxed by Ohio State again like
correct.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Can't happen.
No. And, I mean, if they lose to Stanford, they're probably not going to be in a New Year's Six
correct.
Bowl anyway. But they need to put that big spin
exclamation
on
point to finish
right.
the season. Yes,
absolutely,
and really push hard then into the 2018 year. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, taking the necessary steps and seeing consistency within the program, I think, you know, finishing off the regular season on a strong fashion, even knowing that your chances are slim to none of making the college football playoffs at this point, is still finishing strong. And then getting into New Year's Six and really setting the message or setting a tone for the following year, moving into the 2018 offseason.
It's 12:13, Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM, WSBT, day after Thanksgiving. And how about the night before Thanksgiving? We're going to get to some more of that Notre Dame Stanford in a little bit. Take a listen to this, though, courtesy of UND.com and Notre Dame Basketball.
66-65, Notre Dame basketball, gets it into Gebbin, and Gebbin is fouled! With 2.3 seconds left, Marty Gebbin's going to the line for a chance to give Notre Dame the lead. Off the back of the rim, front of the rim, and in! The rim got it! We're tied!
Put your hook in there and just get that one. It's something we have that I don't think a lot of teams have.
It's over!
You know, what a great growth moment for us this whole week with 3 games.
Notre Dame has won the 2017 Maui Invitational Championship, coming back from 16 points down.
Just in case you weren't sure, they won that game. Gotta love Jack.
Well, you know,
Jack's going crazy.
I didn't see as much of the game as I did the post locker room celebration,
and that's
with there was, Bray wearing the lay.
It was harder to hear
and no shirt.
Bray was he was kind of doing some of the locker room stuff. You have seen that?
I have. Yeah.
I mean, we thought it was one thing when Mike Bray is out there coaching on the sideline,
shorts and a t-shirt, right?
Shorts and shorts, and then if you haven't seen it, just go to Twitter and search Notre Dame men's basketball, and you just scroll through their feed from a couple days ago, and in walks Mike Bray, no shirt, no shirt Mike Bray with a lay around his neck, and he's pumping it up, and Matt Farrell's kind of looking down at the ground.
Like, but meet my eye line. No.
That's right.
No.
He was excited.
Oh, man.
Good stuff, man.
Good way to start the season.
Absolutely. A great November basketball game. And, I mean, they were down by 16. They were down by 9 at halftime. They come roaring back. Play of the game, Matt Farrell with a steal of the inbound pass with a little more than a minute to play. He dishes off to Bonzi Colson because they were looking dead. If he doesn't steal that, they're probably going to have to foul, and you've got a free throw game instead of a straight-up chance to win the way they did. Big steal, and Jay Billis kind of said it. I was thinking Johnny Most. Farrell stole the ball. Farrell stole the ball. It was one of those kind of plays. He stole it, and he dished off to Colson, and he laid it in. And then, of course, Martinez Gevin ends up with a pair of free throws. He's just like a 60-some percent free throw shooter. The first one wasn't the prettiest. It was a little more iron, but he nailed the second one after tying it up, and they pulled away.
Fun game. Victory.
It was. I mean, it was a November game with a March feel, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they get another. And
it's good to have those feels now.
That's right.
It sometimes can be tough to create those early on in the season, but man, and to come back, come from behind, that shows a lot of moxie and resolve from this group.
Yep. Farrell, 15 points, 4 assists. Bonzi Colson got his double double. And the funny thing is, I had 25 points and 11 for Bonzi. And Darren and I had kind of talked early about we thought he'd end up with like 10 double-doubles out of the first 13 or so non-conference games, whatever the number was, because of some of these lesser opponents. But he didn't get double-doubles in most of those games against, like, I think he might have against Chicago State. Mm-hmm. But in any case, against a big opponent like Wichita State, he really came up big, 25 points and 11 boards.
Just so consistent.
Gebben finished 12 points. 5 out of 5 from the field, 2 out of 2 at the free throw line, and Farrell ended up being named the Maui Invitational MVP after the game. He averaged 19.7 points, shot 50% from the field in 3 games, including 10 out of 21 from 3-point.
Well, I know, even dating back to last year, he was one of the most efficient guards in the nation, I believe, for the entire year. As far as shooting percentage, turnover to assist ratio, All of those that really matter, especially from the point guard position, and he's doing a lot of the same this year too.
And Jay Billis made an interesting comment at the start of the game the other day, and during the game, he's saying he thinks Matt Farrell is an NBA point guard, which is interesting because he's a little bit, even compared to like Demetrius Jackson, a little bit undersized, but he obviously does a lot of things really well. So keep an eye on that here down the road.
Well, I mean, if you can shoot with that type of percentage consistently.
Absolutely. And that's the big thing. Got to be able to shoot.
He defends, too. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, he gets after it on both ends of the court.
As we saw with that steal.
Yeah.
He got after it pretty good. So they'll have another chance, though, for a March feel. They're going to close out November next Thursday, ACC Big Ten Challenge up in East Lansing against Michigan State.
Do you think Bray wears the lay with no shirt to coach this game?
I don't know about no shirt, but I would give serious consideration considering he just won 3 games wearing
t-shirt. He's probably going to stay with it.
That's right.
I wouldn't doubt it.
At least wear the sneakers out there or something. I mean, come on. Why not? You might as well.
Trying to bring some of that weather back here. From
that's
Hawaii,
right. That's right. And, of course, all Notre Dame basketball right here on WSBT. But that was just a lot of fun because there were a couple times where I was sitting there and it's like, yeah, do I really want to stay up till 1 o'clock and watch this? Because they were kind of floundering, kind of just treading water, and then they came back. Interesting, though, is following social media, apparently part of the travel team came home from Maui yesterday. But then 14 guys, including Alan Wasluski, who's the media relations guy, and I think Matt Farrell, Bonzi, I think they were part of the group too. They are still out there. There was something to do with a mechanical issue with the plane they were supposed to be on. And because they're in Hawaii, the airline did not have the parts to fix the plane. And so
they had to wait for
a plane to come over from the States with the parts that they needed to fix it. I don't know if I'd feel that good trying to come home.
Well, I'm sure those guys don't mind staying there for a couple extra days, right?
Absolutely. Man, I tell you what. And that's, but the thing is, apparently they had also checked their bags in.
So they don't have anything.
Whatever they had on their back. So unless they wanted to go do a little more swimming in their boxers, I don't know how that was going to work. But but you're right. It's like, I'll take another day in Maui.
Why not?
No problem with that. Have you ever been over there?
Yeah, it was as a senior, we played in the Hawaii Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so we went over there and we, you know, our flight there, we had to stop in L.A. So we flew charter from South Bend to L.A. We stopped to refuel and then... And then flew from L.A., I believe it was L.A., then L.A. to Hawaii. I mean, it was a long trip. We had a double-decker plane. But it was a lot of fun. You know, we went out there. We did the water park. I mean, we were playing Hawaii. You know, we were a six-win team. So it wasn't like there was a lot of attention on us. So we could kind of kick back and have a little bit of fun. I went out and tried to surf. That did not go well. I was not told about needing to wear a rash guard, you know, shirt.
Uh-huh.
So I'm out there for 4 or 5 hours and my upper body and stomach got chafed pretty terribly to the point of some blood.
Ooh.
Was not great going to practice then that day and then the following days having to put pads on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty frustrating.
That's what happens when the fair skinned guys like us get out there in the sun at this time of year.
That's why we had to go at like 4 a.m. too. Is at least I wasn't sunburnt.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the board over and over chafing.
Just rubbing off on the board. Okay.
And we had you had to put like the wax on the board too, and that was bad. But I had a great time other than that. Water park was fun, yeah.
I'm sure.
We went to a couple of luau's. That was great. Tried some interesting food. Spun a couple of those fire sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some good pork down in the
pit
and all that kind of stuff. Good stuff. You're making me hungry.
We've talked a lot about food. I actually got a text from Troy Neusbaum, who's one of the members at the gym, and he kind of was laughing because you said that I watch what I eat, and he's had food with me a couple of times. He goes,
"Yeah, knows better,
you're
right?
You're super strict on what you eat."
Well, I've seen you walking around with a bag of grapes in your hands. That's all I know.
Yeah. It's finding a good balance is what it is.
No, you're right. But he knows better, obviously.
Yeah, he knows better.
12:22, we're going to take some questions from Twitter here in a little bit, get you caught up on what happened in the NFL yesterday. And I also have one of the great moments in pseudo-radio Thanksgiving history that I'm going to play here when we come back from this break. That is coming up next. It is Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch. A lot of football, a lot of other stuff going on for you here today. Food talk, as it turns out. Day after Thanksgiving on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Mm-hmm. 12:26, Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. We're going to take some Twitter questions here in just a little bit. Just sit back and watch some NFL yesterday, Evan.
Did I?
Yeah.
I did not.
No NFL action for you? That's pretty much all we did after eating and during eating. Not during, but after eating, I guess. Kyle Rudolph, former Notre Dame guy, tied in, had a couple touchdowns in the first half in Minnesota's 30-23 win over Detroit. Vikings 9-2. They have a commanding three-game lead. In the NFC North, they're starting to run away with things there. They were kind of talking like the Packers might be able to creep back into wild card conversation if Aaron Rodgers comes back for the last three games. I guess we'll see. Zach Martin left Dallas's 28-6 loss to San Diego with concussion symptoms in the second quarter yesterday.
That ain't good.
Nope, bad news for him. He entered the game having played 661 out of a possible 673 snaps.
That's
season.
Impressive.
Yep. He has never missed a game in his career. They have a full week off because the Cowboys and Redskins, who are both 5-6 and 10th and 11th, respectively, in the NFC, they play next Thursday night.
Okay.
So the Chargers, by the way, with their win, they officially eliminated the Browns from playoff contention.
Okay.
Just in case anyone was holding out.
I saw something someone had somewhere. It was like these 47 things had to happen for the Browns to still make the playoffs.
One, be good. cross that off the list.
Well, I think that was the one. I mean, that eliminated it already by yesterday, yeah, so exactly. That ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kirk Cousins threw a pair of touchdown passes in the Redskins 20.
Are they going to draft another quarterback in the first round again next year? Ooh,
man.
Got to build from the offense and defensive line.
Both of them. Neither one of them.
Trade for a quarterback.
Yeah, the Redskins will probably win next week because Dallas, like, they, with no Zeke Elliott, they can't score a touchdown. Yeah. With no Sean Lee, they can't stop anybody. So it's not a very good show they're putting on.
Jalen Smith's been pretty productive this year overall, though.
He has. He's been good. I know I saw this pass rush efficiency yeah. thing about him a week or
one
so
of the top
ago.
Linebackers. Are they top linebackers?
Yeah, and when he's rushing the passer, he's good. He did okay in space yesterday because they didn't ask him to move around a lot. When Sean Lee is there, Darren said this, you know how Jalen used to be Notre Dame's eraser, make up for a lot of other guys' mistakes. Right. When Sean Lee is there, that's what he is, and it allows Smith to do sure. even more because Lee can cover so much ground. But he's been out, and it's like they showed a graphic yesterday where everything from their win-loss record to the points they give up, the yards they allow, the turnovers they create, the whole thing, everything is just drastically worse with no Sean Lee, and he's been out recently. So, but in any case, I promised one of the great pseudo moments in radio history, and we were talking during the break. You have never been a you're too young to remember WKRP in Cincinnati.
Probably.
When it was on, I believe late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And it was only on for like 3 years or something like that.
But I wasn't born until 86.
Yeah. So radio guys like me, I would say 90% of people who end up in radio, maybe not as much the sports guys, but anyone kind of in the over 40 range, they remember WKRP in Cincinnati. And this is one of the classic moments. And this, of course, was a TV show, but it was a TV show about a radio station, WKRP in Cincinnati, for the younger demo like you mm-hmm. who doesn't remember it necessarily. And so their newsman's name is Les Nessman, okay? And so Les is out covering a station event in an outdoor shopping center, all right? So that's kind of the
You're setting
setup.
The stage.
That's kind of the setup for this. And Dr. Johnny Fever in the studio is going to send it to him here. So I'll let you hear it. And it's great radio when you think about it. Again, it was a TV show, but like when you listen to this, it's actually great radio.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So, take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep.
So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy... W K R P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plumbing to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. No parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes. One just went through the windshield of a parked car.
Running around pushing each other. Oh my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. Folks, I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. Longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd.
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. You just tuned in. The Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with rock tribute. Film at 11.
No, Mr. Mayor, yes, there was some damage, sir, but no one was hurt.
Mr. Colley, we know what the Humane Society stands for.
The National Guard? No, sir, the National Guard, I don't think it's that serious.
Well, Mr. Colley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you very much.
Yes, goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
Oh, Andy, why did you let Mr. Carlson do this?
Because it's Mr. Carlson's station.
This man must be stopped before he promotes again.
Now listen.
It should have worked.
Carlson, can I help you?
No, I'm fine.
Hey, Mr. Carlson. What's it like to ride in a helicopter?
A lot of fun. I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds?
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. It's pretty strange after that.
No, it's strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
There it is, the infamous moment in WKRP radio history. Oh,
thought I could fly.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. That's. And I mean, were you visualizing it? Oh, Les was describing it.
Yeah. Less.
Black. Yeah. Oh man, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, I tell you what. Let's get back to some football.
All right.
I want to do that.
That was great, though.
I mean, like I said, it's one of the all time great moments. You'll have to, if you ever down the road and you're looking for a laugh around Thanksgiving, just Google WKRP Thanksgiving, and that'll come right up. All right, we do have some Twitter questions to get to. And let's start with Jason. He wants to know if the Irish should consider using Kevin Stefferson on punt and kick returns to spark the return game.
Why not? Think?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, you know, who's getting reps back there right now? I don't know. I mean, it looks like they're pretty, you know, they're pretty set on who's going to be returning. And I don't know. I mean, over the last couple of years, it doesn't look like there's really a push for return. It's more about who can catch it.
Right.
Who can fair catch it.
And that's part of it. Yeah. And to be fair now, back during fall camp and all that, Kevin Stefferson was working out, but he was not going to be tried out for punt returns because
his traits were not.
That's right. He was not in the mix.
Yeah.
He missed four games to start the season.
Right.
So, and I think it's tough at this stage in the game to make a switch like that. If you were going to, maybe you already would have. I think the bigger picture, they're a lot of people who are really dissatisfied with the special teams, and dissatisfied might be a really nice way of putting it based on some of the comments that I see. And I realize they haven't got these monstrous big kick returns, but the other, or punt returns for that matter. But the other thing is they haven't given up.
Yeah, they've been pretty consistent on coverage units, both punt and kick. But, you know, I mean, I get it and I understand. I think you'd like to see, you know, a little more of a boost in the return units, you know, hitting on some chunks here and there. They're really, I mean, it really hasn't happened.
No. And I think that when you bring in a coach whose sole responsibility is special teams,
the expectations are higher.
Yeah, much higher expectations.
But I will say, I mean, there hasn't been, you know, you look to last season, there were a lot of game-changing plays negatively.
Exactly.
You haven't had that, but you also haven't really had any plays that have changed it in a positive nature either.
Yeah. Well, there have been a couple C.J. Sanders kickoff returns. And
yeah,
they have come more recently, but you're right. There haven't been the big game changers.
Right. What you just brought up is a great point. If you have somebody who's, you know, working on it, supposedly working on it 24/7, you know, each week, coming up with a game plan, studying opposing teams' film, you know, you would hope, or you would expect that, you know, there'd be more production.
Well, you remember the one year when Notre Dame had like the worst punt return average in the nation? I can't remember if that was when you were still playing or maybe just a little bit afterwards. And Michael Floyd, once they went to the bowl game, Michael Floyd ended up returning.
That would have been the year after I was gone, though.
Okay.
I think it would have been Kelly's first year.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
And that might not have been the same year that they had the worst average. But in any case, Michael Floyd, after they had some time off and they had bowl practice and stuff. So who knows? Maybe a guy like Stepherson, because they're going to have some extended practice prior to their bowl game, maybe they re-audition, whether it's Stepherson or somebody else. But I think what you said is a really good point. First, you have to be comfortable, especially on punt returns, you have to be comfortable looking up, knowing people are bearing down on you, and be able to catch the ball.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I think by and large, you know, there's been pretty consistent catching the football this mm-hmm. year. You know, the fumble last week was not great, but, you know, I think that, you know, overall, it's been fairly consistent. You know, I mean, you usually set your heels at a certain spot, and if it's going behind you, you let it go. But I think that there's kind of a, it's been more of a, I guess, punt safe type of mentality, where we're gonna play for field position where it's punted versus we're gonna try to get some return yards out of it.
You think you can take for granted though, just the fact that what we talked about, they made so many boneheaded plays last year. Those are all wiped out. We haven't seen any of that kind of stuff happen. Big, as you said, game changing plays that were really negative. The Miami game is one, for example, where remember they had to rally to come mm-hmm. back last year, and part of it was because of that botched punt return that allowed them to have.
And I don't know how many times last year there was, you know, a call of a short punt that hit a Notre Dame player.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd never seen so many in one season.
And that those are fluke things to an extent, but at the same
time,
someone's out there
communication
yelling.
And you know, making sure everyone's on the same, you know, on the same page. So that goes into it too. So I don't know. I mean, when you start to win, you know, Notre Dame's at 9 wins right now. I think all the expectations are, you know, how could we be a little bit better? How could we win now 10 or 11 games? Mm-hmm. So you point to those aspects too of, you know, taking another step in the right direction is, can we make some plays on special teams versus having more of a passive or defensive type of mentality on the return units?
Yeah, and I think it's all a process, though, and I think the expectations get really ratcheted up because offensively the running game has been so much drastically improved to last year. The defense has been so drastically improved to last year. So I think when you bring in a coordinator whose sole job is special teams, everyone kind of expects that that's going to be better too, because sure. everything else is so much better. But I think when you look at what the starting point was compared to where they are now, again, it's a process. So now you're back to even, mm-hmm. essentially, even though it's not dynamic yet.
It was pretty bad.
But the next step, that's my point. They went from really bad to at least even, where things aren't going poorly. And so now the next step as you transition toward next year is that the levels do start going up.
Yeah, and I think that you would expect or hope to see that in preparation for bowl practice too. That's where you're going to start to see some of those changes personnel wise. But then likely in the spring, you know, it's going to be a new cast of characters.
And I think that really the skill set Stepherson has, to answer the original question, yes, with the speed he has and everything else, yeah, he'd be dynamic. But we don't know, has he been tried out at some point? We don't know how comfortable he is, all those things. That still factors in. You can't just pick
a skill position guy.
Yeah, you can't just pick a guy and say, okay, now you're the return guy.
Yeah, you're fast. Go catch this ball and run with it. Exactly. That's what you would like to say, but you know, it's going to be, you know, can the coaching staff trust you? What have you done in practice? And we don't see that on a daily basis. You know, they might shoot up 10 punts, and if you drop a couple, well, you're probably not going to get another chance.
Right. It is 12:44. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, more Twitter questions here with Sean and Sharpley in the Leprechaun Lunch, and we'll look at that beast who may or may not be waiting to face the Irish tomorrow. Bryce Love, the nation's leading rusher. We'll do that when we return. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley, Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. It is 12:48. Sean and Sharpley, the Leprechaun Lunch on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Notre Dame and Stanford coming up tomorrow night from Palo Alto as they close out the regular season. Bryce Love may or may not be there tomorrow night. He leads the nation, 1,723 rushing yards. He's averaging 172 yards a game, 8.8 per carry, 16 rushing touchdowns. But he's been hobbled even worse than Josh Adams with an ankle problem this year. And he left the fourth quarter of last week's 17-14 win over their arch rival Cal with an ankle. But he has 11 runs of 50-plus yards this season, 6 of them for over 60 yards. He's gone over 100 yards in the first quarter 5 times this year.
So, and he's still questionable?
He is still questionable. And by the way, we have RJ Abatia from a website called thebootleg.com. It's the 24/7 Stanford site. He'll be on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat 6:10 tonight, so book that. And we'll get the latest on what's going on with him and, yeah, everything else.
I mean, that changes a lot, you know, whether or not he's in the lineup. And it's, you know, it's a Stanford team I thought preseason, you know, I liked. They did lose quite a bit from last year's team, both offensively and defensively. But David Shaw usually they do a pretty nice job of reloading. You know, they have their identity is ingrained. They're physical at the point of attack on both sides. And I don't think the defense has played the way they thought. And then, you know, inconsistency on offense at times. But, you know, they beat a good Washington team a couple weeks ago. You know, they're still competitive in the pack. So, you know, this should be a good football game. You know, Notre Dame has struggled on the road at Stanford.
Yeah.
The last few times they've gone out there. So, we'll see what team shows up. You know, it's been, you know, Notre Dame, the second half of the season, really here in November, you know, has not really played with the same level of consistency for four quarters that they did early on.
Notre Dame hasn't won at Stanford since the pre-Harbaugh-Shaw era began. So when you think
that's a while.
And that's really since that mentality that you talked about. It started with Jim Harbaugh.
It was a big shift.
And then David Shaw has continued that. And kind of an interesting factor in this whole thing is Washington and Washington State, because they play tomorrow night as well. And Stanford is in contention. They currently lead the Pac-12 North. And obviously, this Notre Dame game is a non-conference game. And David Shaw is 12-0 at home in non-conference matchups at Stanford in his career. But so Washington and Washington State plays tomorrow in Seattle. If Washington wins, it would give Stanford the Pac-12 North title. So they would potentially have another game to play the following weekend. So with that in mind, and maybe this is, again, something we'll ask RJ Abatia tonight, but you could see Bryce Love, if nothing else, very limited or not even play because of that, because that Washington-Washington State game starts at the exact same time as Notre Dame and Stanford. So they won't know in advance how that game turned out. So, yeah.
By the way, did you see Mike Leach fouling? Was it practice this week?
I did not. I kind of
hear any rumblings about it.
I saw something on Twitter, but
he gave some advice on marriage, on getting married.
What did he have?
The gist was make up as many excuses as you can so you don't have to be part of the planning process because you'll never be right.
That's a true story. It's a very true story.
His thought was if you agree and say yes, then you don't have a thought of your own. You're just saying yes to appease. And then the opposite side, if you say you want something, then that's probably not going to be what's picked. I know that has nothing. It was just he's quite a gem as far as his interaction with the media.
He's a gem, all right.
But Stanford,
that's
Notre Dame.
Pretty good advice.
Stay as far away as possible.
Anyone who's been married knows.
Make
that.
It up.
That's right.
Legends Trophy.
Yes.
This week. Irish Crystal, California Redwood.
If Notre Dame wins, they will have won all the rivalry trophies this year. All the
traveling
trophies.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite ones.
Have you seen the Legends Trophy?
Oh, yeah. This one's cool.
That's interesting because I don't think most people in the media could pick it out of a lineup. Like if you put six trophies up there, if the Shillelagh was one, you could at least eliminate
There's
that.
Two of those. There's one for Purdue as well.
Yeah.
That's just the regular one. It's not jeweled. The USC game is jeweled.
Just the plain Shillelagh.
Yeah, that's right. No, the Legends is it's beautiful.
Let's do another Twitter question here real quick before we have to wrap things up. And I wanted to get a couple Sharply Trading things. If we have a chance, we're actually winding down here. This is from Joel. From a quarterback perspective, is Wimbush doing one or all of the following? Trying/thinking too hard. Regressing on learned mechanics. Still too early to see true development.
I'm gonna toss the third one out because he's in year three and he's been playing quarterback for quite a long time.
If he's not in the same system, there are skills he should.
Yeah, have. I mean, I don't think it's it's weird at the college level. You know, it's not that you tap out your development. It's once you get into the season, it's hard to really tweak and work on things because there's a new game plan each week. It's more about that than hey, let's start brand new on something. We talked about this a little bit last week too. So part of the issue is the thinking or trying too hard. That certainly is a real element. You know, mm-hmm. You want to be successful, and sometimes if you press a little bit too much, it changes some certain things. And as far as the mechanics go, and we touched on this last week too, was there's he occasionally pulls his left foot a little bit too hard to clear space for his hip, and what it does is instead of pushing into it enough. It's telling his arm to release at a time or a moment where the ball or the tip has not come back down, which is why you've seen, when he's missed, a lot of times he's missed high.
One thing, you mentioned how you get into the season and it's about game plan and all that stuff. And as someone like you who works with, whether it's quarterbacks, hitters, whatever, and you're working on mechanics, I think the number that I've heard before is to change to make a mechanical change so that it sticks and becomes muscle memory, you essentially have to repeat it like 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's a lot of reps.
Right around. So it's not something where like you can try to do something during the week because once you're back under fire again and in a game, you're just going to revert back to whatever your muscle memory what you're usually.
And you
doing.
Can you can try to tweak things.
But
and,
it's hard.
And it would require staying after practice, and I'm sure that that's been done because where I felt it, with the receivers and the quarterback, it's kind of been up and down, a day late and a dollar short. A good pass and then a drop or a bad pass of the good route. So,
All right. Coming up on 12:56, we need to get out and take a break, come back with a prediction before we wrap things up. Sean Sharply, Leprechaun Lunch on WSBT. It is 12:58 as we wind down this trip to Fantastic post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharply on Michiana Sports Leader WSBT South Bend. Got a prediction for tomorrow's game?
Well, I'm going to predict first. I'm going to go home and stuff my face with more food.
There you go.
I'm going to do that this afternoon, probably some more tomorrow. I don't know. This one always is – I don't ever feel good about this pick. Yep. It's always a tough game on the road. You know, I'm going to go with Notre Dame today. You know, for the game tomorrow night. But I think it's going to be close. I think there's going to be some more points scored than there have been in the past few contests. The points have usually been low. But I'm going to go with Notre Dame 34, Stanford 27.
Okay. So a fairly high scoring game.
At least compared to how it's been.
If there's no Bryce Love, I think it's going to be a long night for Stanford. That's the key to the whole thing.
I agree.
KJ Costello, nothing special. He replaced Keller Christ. Who is even less special.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the quarterback situation, there's not a lot of dynamic going on. Their defense is not nearly as good as it has been in the last few years. Again, RJ Abatia will join us tonight to talk Stanford, so get some of the more thoughts.
I'll change my score prediction if he says that Love's not playing.
All right. I'm picking Notre Dame. Tomorrow is when we give the points on Game Day Sports Beat. Good stuff, Evan, as always. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving weekend, WSB South Bend.